The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Everybody, and welcome to the 70th episode of ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
Welcome to this festival of fun internet reviews, comedy about reviews.
Fried onions, too.
Fried onions, friendship. The two Fs, fried onions and friendship, are coming in folds here on ReviewParty.com. You know what? Let's get right into it here. What, you dive got a right review?
In. I do dive. Have a review. We'll dive right into familiar warm waters of Amazon.com. I can't believe I even got it. This is an Amazon review for a book called Crafting with Cat Hair. Cute handicrafts. No. Need I continue? It's something you see, you know, on your suggested, like, people also looked at this item. And because I looked at that awful cat tongue brush a couple weeks ago.
You really lit up your suggested products there, didn't you?
Which Christy D. has a lot to say about.
Well, Christy, I'm all ears, unfortunately.
Christy titles her review, "For those of you who question your sanity." Christy writes, "Just so you know, if you merely look at this book on Amazon, you will be plagued with, because you looked at this thing, you might also like these things, emails that make you start to question your own sanity. A 1,000-pound wheel of cheese? A Nicolas Cage pillowcase? A UFO detector? Inflatable unicorn horn for my cat? A DVD made specially for my cat to watch while I'm away? Wait, I don't even have a cat. An outfit for my dog that comes with a plush or chest piece with a blonde wig? I don't own a dog either. Jesus, I'm not sure who Amazon thinks I am. I'm not even sure I know who I am anymore. 1 star.
She needs some sort of internet exorcist to come and put a ward in her computer.
Clean it. Some digital sage to just sort of cleanse the airs.
Right. Burn away these horrible, horrible suggested products. Ugh.
You can clear your Amazon browsing history. It's just, do you ever think to do that?
Do you ever think to do that? And could you bring yourself to do that? I picture myself hitting the "Are you sure" button, that yes or no. Years and years of product suggestion amalgamated into an algorithm ready to suggest me things I don't want. I don't know if I can part way with all that history. Maybe it's the pack rat in me.
It does tell a bit of a story.
Right. I bought Call of Duty Black Ops 2. When was that? It came out in like 2010, freshman year of college. And I'm still getting Call of Duty games. I haven't played a Call of Duty game since that game.
Good.
And good for you. But I like to see... You know, I like to keep up with it, like
what,
an old
dumb
friend.
Little Amazon thinks is like, "Hey, man, Amazon is your loser friend from the neighborhood who was invited to your birthday party 10 years ago and got you something and saw you loved it, and now is like, hey, man, I got a new pack of Crazy Bones. What do you think? Want to play Crazy Bones, man?"
Maybe this is a privilege of me, but that made me think of a kid that came over to your birthday party, and his family, sadly, either doesn't care to purchase this child, this unnamed child, a PS2, or perhaps does not have the means. Either way, he sees a PS2, he's having a great time, and you're having a great time with him. But boy, you wish he would just quit asking you about Glover. You fucking hate that game, you want nothing to do with it. But it's all he can think about. His little, the serotonin slot machine that was Glover was too powerful for him.
Hey, Glover's cute.
What about Evil Glover? Looks like a Frankenstein. It looks like a Halloween.
Dirty.
Halloween type. Bizarro Glover is just a glove that fell in a muddy puddle.
No, thanks.
Don't need that. And I don't need these. I don't know. I guess I'd be upset. I kind of look at my YouTube suggestions very like, why do you keep showing me this? So I can relate.
I can relate because of this podcast.
Right. We do look at a lot of crap, not for purchasing sake. So when we actually go on Amazon to try and use the website, sort of already shot ourselves in the foot in the name of comedy.
Yeah.
I guess we'll keep clipping along here. Speaking of fall, I got something that reminds me of fall. A lot of people, the big joke is today, pumpkin spice is the big thing that comes around in fall.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But that leaves a lot of wonderful fall things left forgotten. One of my favorite fall things is chili. A big bowl of it. So I got some from Amazon, Stag Dynamite Chili with Beans, 15-ounce can. Paco 12. Eric A. Dam titles it the best canned chili ever. Although it is made by Hormel. Although it appears too greasy when you open the can, it is great after 3 minutes in the microwave. Mixed with chili cheese flavored Fritos, it is the best you can hope for in any canned chili. Parentheses, still cannot compare to homemade chili. Parentheses. For the curious, Stag brand is made by the Hormel company, and a can of Hormel chili once made me violently ill for hours. That did not stop me from enjoying this hot enough chili with Fritos. Add red onions and cheddar for an incredibly satisfying meal. 4 stars.
Okay. I don't know how much I trust someone who microwaves their canned chili.
Oh, you are a stovetop purist.
When it comes to chili, yes. Obviously, canned chili doesn't compare to homemade, as Mr. Dam pointed out.
You think it would go without saying?
You think it would, but if all of his chili is prepared in microwaves, I don't know.
The bar he is enjoying his chili at is nowhere. You can't even fathom sinking to those depths, microwaving their canned chili like some sort of. Poor person.
Yeah, that's gross. Exactly. That's a good representation of the grossness. My face just fell when I heard 3 minutes in the microwave. I just, what? No. No. You get out of your little saucepan, you shake it until it goes.
Sure. Sure. The dog's food like, turns into something.
Yeah. And you throw it on the flame.
The flame, and then what happens?
It bubbles over, and you're like, Jesus, I forgot I'm watching the game right now. The chili's on the stove. Maybe I just like the experience.
That could be. You know, I'm a big canned soup microwaver. I don't know that I ever stovetop soup, unless it comes in one of those glass jars or something.
Wow.
Some sort of fancy presentation to the canned soup. Then I feel like, okay, I gotta do the whole 9 yards.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just a different person. We're all different people.
No, I respect drawing the line. I respect it.
I use a safety razor, the old fashioned. I gotta churn up shaving cream in a mug anytime I want to shave, which isn't often, but something about that.
It's about the process. It's about the ritual.
Yeah. And for me, that's bubbling chili on a stove.
Bubbling chili on a stove. It is your witch's cauldron, so to speak, of herbaceous spices and meaty meats.
all that aside, it does sound like he knows how to modify and upgrade a standard canned chili.
I thought you were going to say, it does sound like he knows how to microwave a chili.
That it does. Yes, he knows the time.
This is his first microwave and chili rodeo, right? He's been through all the brands. He gets out the food thermometer, does little experiments. He's got a GoPro outside the microwave to monitor, you know, do time lapses and things like that. Just to make sure the chili is microwaved to perfection. Okay, so there's one canned good I think is better in the microwave than on the stove. Can you guess what that is?
One canned good better?
That I would always microwave, never stovetop. And it's not some high quality fancy thing. It's a friend of the show, you might say. A chefly friend.
Oh, Mr. Boyardee?
Mr. Boyardee. Chef Boyardee ravioli on the stove does not work. That shit breaks apart into a zillion pieces.
Just a pile of goo.
A pile of goo. The noodles get, I don't know how, as soon as they hit the stove, the noodles just instantly turn to mush. No tenderness to them at all. Just, and then all the meat is like sadly spilling out. No, no, no. You microwave that though? Oh, solid. There's a foundation there. I don't know why or how.
It's the oxygen. As soon as it's, you know, exposed to oxygen, it starts breaking down. But in the microwave, the oxygen's getting punched around. It can't get to the rav.
Yeah, getting punished. Getting shot with laser beams. The oxygen doesn't have time to fuck with your good rav.
Till it's, you know, toasted, heated up.
And then it has no power here.
Mm-mm.
Oxygen is weak. When the noodles are already good to go, oxygen cannot even put up a fight.
You know, as long as we're on the food train, I'm gonna sort of stay on the food train, but not really. I have a review of a play, of a script, actually. It's not even of the play, it's of the script, probably from Dramatists or playscripts.com, one of those monopolies of scripts. You need to pay us to perform and put our names on the poster. People need to know we own that script.
Nah.
Anyway.
Indie internet, podcast pirates, all your media is ours. Yeah.
So somebody approached me through text recently. I was like, oh, this show's going to close because somebody had to drop out and they need a person. And I'm like, I'm probably not interested, but I'll look up the play. It is titled Death by Chocolate. Isn't that fun?
Isn't that extra Hot Topic cute?
Yeah. So anyway, let's just let Greg L. tell us what he thinks.
Greggle.
Greggle titles his review, Vapid and Useless. Before I continue,
what is this one about my ex-wife?
Oh, Greg's. There's no star rating on this, but I feel like Greg gets his point across. Already he's gotten it across, but he doubles down. And Greg writes, I've read worse plays, but not many. Death by Chocolate is the worst type of play. A semi-meta comedic deconstruction that fails at both its humor and its deconstruction. With shallow, one-note characters like the effeminate, quote, Dick Simmering, do you get it? He's gay and that's the joke. And dyslexia, who has no discernible character traits and seems to exist entirely so people can mispronounce her completely unexplained name. The play has little comedic value in reading or playing. Jokes are telegraphed from miles away, or they fall flat, or their pathetic attempts to, pay homage, to the Marx Brothers. Those are your options. Enjoy, or don't. Problems compound when the author character arrives and begins to explain to the audience precisely how the remaining action of the story will play out. This would have been interesting if there had been some sort of comedic subversion or clever deconstructions, but no. Events play out exactly as he tells us they will. This renders at least half of the play completely pointless and boring, with very little for the audience to experience. Toss in a completely predictable and trite twist ending, and you've got a play that is nothing but pointless. From the first groucho-aping gags to the last needlessly dark moment. I hated it, is what I'm saying.
As much as I appreciate Greggle's articulate bashing of this surely piece-of-shit play, and as much as I trust him, there's a bone I got to pick, and...
Good.
No pun intended with said bone, but I don't know what's so gay about a man in a hot tub. All right? His name's Dick Cimarron. I enjoy a good Dick Cimarron every now and then. Turn on the bubble jets, and I never feel more alive and less homosexual than when I'm in the hot tub.
I will have to take your word for that.
You've never hot tubbed?
I've hot tubbed. I don't know. It's felt good. I usually get sleepy.
Oh, that is a symptom of the gay. All the gays be sleepy all the time.
No, that's to take your word for that too.
They've told me.
What I can say is the name like that, Dick Simmering. I did a murder mystery for the first time ever very recently, and it had a bunch of punny names like that. Like, oh, the lifeguard's name is Tanner Summers. And oh, the pool person is Tracy Pools.
What is this, a 1940s DC comic?
It was I won't even go.
Back to Dick Cimarron, because I don't think we beat the pulp out of that wonderful comedy, Juicy Apple, yet. That reminds me of a porn star that only does hot tub scenes.
Okay, go on.
And to link it back, what's straighter than a porn star who only does hot tub scenes? I don't know. I think maybe Greggle's been misreading all these characters from the start. I don't know how Dick Cimarron could be a gay guy.
I'm going to have to read the play and get back to you.
Let me take a fine-tooth comb through all of Dick Cimarron's lines.
Yeah, see if I can construct a character history on Dick.
Would you plug your gaydar in via USB to this fine-tooth comb so we can sort of go through these lines together? That'd be cool, a gaydar you could rent. Anyway. This does sound like Baby's first edgy comedy boy's first outing at the comedy store.
Yeah, where you forget how to write right at the end, and you're like, well, how about I just have a character explain everything?
Maybe in that moment, they were having writer's block and they didn't know how to explain it, and then they had an out-of-body experience in which they narrated the rest of the play, and they decided that it was so good just to write it down and go from there.
That's dope, man. That's dope.
And they forgot to edit it out.
I like that reconstructive history of it.
I can't see many other options. I mean, like they said, even though they use the big words, if you're going to do something big like that, you better have a big trick planned afterwards, yeah. Right?
Yeah, if you're going to put an apple under your hat, I don't know what if you're going to try and do a magic trick, do a magic trick. But not the magic trick I'm expecting. Specifically, right. Something with apples and hats.
No one's
going to
expect the apple under the hat trick. That is totally original. Usually you're pulling bunnies out of hats, not putting apples under them.
Yeah, and suddenly you're that, what's that? That famous art, the guy, and he has the apple in front of his face. Boom. Whoa.
Boom, now you're famous.
Boom, whoa.
Boom, whoa, Jones. That's your new name. Because you're wowing all the people. Well, I've got a review free of those dastardly Marxist brothers. That's right. Last week, we had a wonderful review for Where the Wild Things Are. Mm-hmm. And it inspired, as we've touched upon this episode, my Amazon recommendations to recommend me one of my other favorite children's books, Corduroy. Aww. So here I have a book review from Amazon for the children's book by Don Freeman, Corduroy. It's about a bear who wears corduroy overalls, if you'd believe. This review is written by Sleeping Ugly. They title it Book Spoiled by Text Printed Inside the Front Cover. This was my son's favorite book when he was little, 40 years ago. I ordered a copy to give someone as a baby gift, but the inside cover had the following text on it. A winning, completely childlike book in which a stuffed bear, waiting hopefully in a toy department, finds a home with a little black girl who wants corduroy so much that, when her mother refuses to buy him, she comes back the next day with her own money. Endearing, brightly colored pictures together with text affectionately recount Corduroy's adventures. That is a quote from Booklist. If they have to have a preview of the book, I wish they could have just said, Stuffed Bear loses a button but finds a friend. The child's race is irrelevant to the story. 3 stars.
Man, that took some turns there. I was like, oh no, she's going to be a racist. No, oh no, she's just upset that the story was spoiled and we know that the child buys it. And oh no, it's about the race again, but I'm not sure.
See, I think, put all those together, she said that the child's race was spoiled. She thought that's the big, she really thought that was the M. Night Shyamalan moment of Corduroy.
Finding out the race of the child who wanted corduroy.
A black girl wants this corduroy bear? Interesting, interesting. People taking notes, taking notes.
It's all about the bear.
It's all about the bear. Yeah, really, I thought when I read this, like, her son is 40 years old, so she's at least 60, right? We can mm-hmm. assume. Why are you mad? You're 60-some years old and you're mad a children's book you've read for 40 years is being spoiled? You don't gotta read that part to the kid before you read it to him.
Right. With books of this caliber, I mean, not caliber, but age level, it's going to be read to them before anything else. The parent can choose not to spoil the story.
Yeah, the book list is just there to give parents an idea about what sort of content they're giving their children.
Yeah, it gives you a sort of a preview.
Right, and Corduroy doesn't want any racists reading the damn book, so they name drop the race of the girl. The book list is doing the Corduroy offer a favor.
Yeah, it's a bit of a racist detector.
Right.
Hey, where corduroy books not selling so good in the South? Well, you know what that means. Racists.
That's true. There's no other explanation.
Correlation, causation, these words mean nothing to me.
The only word I know is corduroy. And that word means pants that a bear wears.
And they make sick little sounds when I walk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're the weird ribbed texture. Don't get a stain in there. That'll be hard to clean. But the comfort is worth it.
Yes. I should get some corduroys. That's a very fall. That's very fall clothing.
Are you going to do it corduroy style where it's just the pants and the overall straps?
Yeah, Just walking around.
Walk around. Go to some Halloween parties. Yeah, I'm corduroy. Hey. Costume's just pants.
Can't you tell? They're corduroy pants.
I feel like, low-key, if you do one of them unbuttoned and just over the shoulder, no one can argue with you. That's got some lore behind
it. I'm missing a button, okay?
I mean, that's more just as high-effort costume as being like Shaun of the Dead, just wearing a t-shirt with a red tie.
White shirt with a little red blood on it.
Yep. And that, you know, that's acceptable. I used to just go totally. As a soldier, quote unquote, where I'd wear jeans, like a camouflage jacket and
yes.
My dad's old military, like, camouflage hat.
Yeah, I am an army man.
Hey, I got some candy out of that little situation there.
Absolutely. It paid dividends.
And with your body, Matt, oh, the ladies would be begging to feel that corduroy.
Oh, corduroy.
You'd be missing more than one button but by the end of the night, I tell you what.
Stop it.
You're going to be missing all three buttons. They took the one from the fly.
Okay, I was like, did corduroy have a butt flap?
Now that would be cool. Corduroy overalls, feet, butt flap. That would be so styling.
All right, I think I'm going to go augment my Amazon search history for a moment now.
Just click on some random corduroy pants so you get some good suggestions later on.
Yep, that's what I'm going to do.
We are revolutionizing online shopping here on ReviewParty.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to ReviewParty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. ReviewParty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, or all the freaks and geeks out there like us, welcome to Great Reviews in History.
Woo! We love it.
Yes. As we are in the spooky season, I've done some research. I have waded through historic newspapers to find a review for none other than Nosferatu, the vampire.
Someone reviewed the vampire?
Nosferatu, yeah.
They reviewed the guy.
The good old, the movie. They reviewed the movie.
I thought they reviewed the dude.
No. Well, maybe that's going to be in here. You'll just have to wait and see.
All it said was, a bit of a jerk.
Very tall. Weird eyes. Kind of a dick. Not quite. Anyway, that movie came out in 1922. This is, I mean, how many movies were being made back then that were like,
how many movies ones? They got these days, huh?
So this is a review from 1929. I don't know what happened, but they must have been like, hey, we got a good one. Let's write it up. It's 7 years old. I don't care. It was made in Germany. It just got here.
There's no VHS tape. You didn't watch movies at home back then.
They had to walk the reels all the way over from Germany.
Right.
it took a while.
One dude in a barrel with a paddle and a reel of film.
So this is from the Chicago Daily Worker. June 4th, great time to show a vampire movie. June 4th, 1929. The headline is Vampires and Water Power on the Cinema Guild Bill. So, two real showstoppers, vampires and a movie about water power. What could be more exciting?
Yeah, that reminds me of back when they could just name Atari games shit like tennis. Like, there weren't many movies out, so they could name it dumb shit like Water Power.
I don't know. We'll get to that. I think they gave the actual name. It might be a bit more exciting than that, but not much.
Water Power 2.
Anyway. The article reads, at the Film Guild Cinema, they put on a movie that seems to have a scenario by some sophomore whose instructor told him to write a horror play. So what could be more horrible than vampires? and he swiped enough out of Dracula to get a plot, after which the thing went to a great director and some excellent photographers, backed by enough money to carry the actors and the machines to Czechoslovakia or Hungary, wherever the scenery is well worth seeing. The director had a hunch that vampires couldn't go over these days, and persisted in introducing naturalistic touches. For example, Nosferatu the vampire loads 6 coffins full of earth in which demons have disported on a ship and has sent them to a city where he wants to start the plague. But when the coffins are opened, rats come out. True plague carriers. No vampire needed. The ghastly makeup of Max Shrek. I don't want to say Shrek because forget Shrek, but Max Shrek as Nosferatu.
Somebody wants.
The ghastly makeup of Max Schreck as Nosferatu, the almost convincing expressions of terror that Greta Schroeder, Ruth Landstoff, and Wolfgang Heinz and Albert Denor as two women and two sailors can produce, deserve to be used on a better theme. Why couldn't it have been a simple story of plague, pure and simple? With the vampire, if there must be a vampire, obviously a figment of the imagination. The story has borrowed some of its technique from Dr. Caligari's Cabinet. But one reason that went through so well was that the audience was not allowed to recover from its momentary spell of the supernatural before it was all explained as a maniac's dream. This one sends you out insulted and ashamed of whatever yielding to the glamour of photography you may have felt because of the childishness of the plot. The graveyard epitaphs are great. If they are not faked, somebody spent a lot of time hunting them up. Some of our forefathers had the merit of frankness when it came to commemorating the dear departed. I tried to look through Nosferatu. You can watch it free on YouTube. I didn't find any graveyard scene to know what this reviewer is talking about. But maybe I'll have to watch the whole thing and get back. If you want to know about the water one is called The Lure of Labrador, a mild travelogue. Interestingly, chiefly because of its frankness in discussing imperialistic motives. Labrador has water power greater than Niagara and virgin forests. Canada and Newfoundland indulged in 20 years litigation over it, and Morganland, the USA, has yet to be heard from. Doesn't that sound like a riveting movie? Oh no, sorry, no. I need to continue that because it does end with a zinger. Either Insel will have Labrador or some British Insel will have Niagara when the next world war is ended. This is 1929. What are you just casually talking about that stuff for? I'm
talking about fucking America getting rocked in the next world war, I guess. Or Canada.
Yeah.
But I love some critic calling something imperialistic drabble. That is just, ooh. Cuts.
Yeah.
But the Nosferatu interview, to get to the pulp here, mm-hmm. the meat and potatoes, that's interesting that they said that, because I know Nosferatu through the imagery. I know that, like, especially the scene where he's coming out the castle and he's moving very strange and makeup's on, and it's, the black and white contrast is very extreme. It's like a famous scene that, as far as...
I mean, it was in SpongeBob, for Pete's sake.
Right, there's a SpongeBob homage. Yeah, my dumb millennial media consumption brain knows old stuff. Just, I've seen it homage so much, I've basically seen the movie.
Yeah, for reference, Rotten Tomatoes has it at 97%.
97, right.
Other accolades.
So I just knew it as... a classic on the grounds of the wonderful art direction of it. But it sounds like to me, knowing that it's a classic in all pursuits, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. It just sounds like to me that he was stuck in, I think we could relate, around 2008, 2009. I just hated zombie movies just because there were so many fucking zombie movies.
Sure.
Zombieland's a goddamn classic, but I think I would have enjoyed it a lot more if there wasn't 30 other zombie movies that come out between that and Shaun of the Dead.
I'm going to have to stop the proceedings just momentarily.
Sure, I made my point.
It only just dawned on me why I recognized the name The Daily Worker, which is the newspaper that this is from.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who love Seinfeld, as we both do, you might recognize the name The Daily Worker. It's what one of Elaine's boyfriends reads. That boyfriend, as George says, Elaine says, he's very well read. And George says, maybe he's very well read. The Daily Worker is a newspaper published by the Communist Party of America.
Yeah, see? That's why that imperialist
right. line it all hits makes so hard.
So Nosferatu's got beautiful photography, but a little bit too capitalist for our tastes around here, right?
It really shows that I did my research on this one, huh?
Nosferatu wasn't trying to seize the means of production there, you know? Those goddamn rats he used should have been unionized. And they could have got a better score.
Please, bring us real plagues that we can actually use. I don't want vampire plagues. Rats. Rats are nothing.
Rats. We're down with the rats. There's sort of a lot of them working together to achieve a goal, sharing, spreading, you know. We love it. We love it. Now, this water movie crap, imperialistic.
Uh-uh. Imperialistic. That's why they're talking about the next world war. They're like, according to our calendars, this is about to crack in about 10 years. So somebody's going to get that land.
Hey, paint me red. Paint me red. Come on. I'll review movies for the Commie Red newspaper. I'll always do two-parters. The first one I'll always seriously review, and the second one I'll always just dismiss as imperialistic. And honestly, it won't be far from my real feelings.
Let me double. They may have said one other thing. Oh, yes, there are two other features. The old ballet mécanique, surprising as ever, and Charlie Chaplin's The Fireman. Not his best, but very good. At least they like Chaplin. Probably the mustache. Probably the mustache.
Well, The Dictator is a very left-leaning type movie with messages. Maybe they're down with the message and, you know. It's just unsaid. It's sort of the confident head nod to Chaplin. Like, yeah, keep it up. Keep it up, comrade.
Right.
Well, as much as I love to bathe myself in red and praise the hammer and sickle, as my fellow millennial burnouts do, I'll get a little review to get us out of here. A double review here. And these two wonderful reviews from Amazon for the simplicity, unisex, timelessly classic Manhattan fedora hat. Submitted to us by Elijah Moisek. Thank you very much, my friend. I'll read these two reviews in quick succession. In their opposition, they compliment each other, as our double reviews often do.
Yes.
This first one is by Brian. It is titled, One Size Does Not Fit All. This hat would be large on Frankenstein's monster's head. Ridiculously large. Too bad, because it feels good to the touch and looks great. Great style, just not wearable on an average human's head. 1 star. Anna's got something to say about that. She titles her review, He Loved It. Mm. So, the dog ate his fedora about 2 years ago, and we have struggled to find another one that fit and he liked. At first, he was disappointed that the hat was so loose, sad emoji. But about an hour into our event, he realized it was an adjustable drawstring on the side of the hat band.
Whoa.
Now it fits perfectly, and he loves it. 5 stars.
Tale as old as time. The dog ate your fedora. What do you do?
The shockingly wonderful part of this review is it took 2 years
to get a replacement.
2 years of hard searching. A daily scouring of the ease of the bays, the mini malls.
Maybe it took 2 years for the lady friend to finally, like, pony up and be like, I left your fedora on the floor next to the food bowl. Okay, it was my fault. Like, the dude's getting home every day. He walks to the door, makes like a motion to hang his hat up, and he remembers he's not wearing anything. He does that every day for 2 years. She's like, enough!
So he totally mimics taking a fedora off and putting it on an empty hat rack. And then he looks at his hand and then just looks down solemnly, chin to chest, and mopes to the kitchen where he sits and has himself a cry. And the wife's sick of it.
I have to be honest, I was not expecting the deus ex machina of the adjustable drawstring. I thought, like, his head was just going to start swelling from excitement, and suddenly it fits. Oh.
You thought the turn here was that this fedora was turning her fiancé into some sort of a monster. Slowly, a Jekyll and Hyde situation was happening.
Yeah, yeah, that was the scene that was set by the other review, that it would take a Frankenstein head to even come close, and even then, I don't know.
I mean, there is a picture of this wonderful couple. We could have the Frankenstein head in question on our hands.
Hmm.
I hate to say about your lovely man, Anna.
You got a big old meathead.
He's got a big old meathead. All he's missing is some green skin and the bolts hanging out the side. But the fedora fits great. You think the story of Frankenstein's monster would have been different if he had a fedora, had access to a hat?
Yeah, that would make him feel more humanized, absolutely.
You think the people protesting, people trying to kill him with a pitchfork, he would have looked so good that they would have forgot he's Jewish.
You do a little Michael Jackson moonwalk with that fedora. You'd be like, oh, yeah, this guy's great.
Oh, man, as he moonwalked, little sparks, electricity would go on the ground.
Oh.
That's what Mary Shelley was trying to, you know, what she was missing in that quote-unquote classic novel.
It's fantastic. You know,
Michael Jackson sequence.
Yes. That's what Thriller was trying to
right.
do.
Right. Thriller. It shouldn't have been a werewolf. It should have been Frankenstein. Maybe if Tito had done Thriller, it would have been the Frankenstein version.
Maybe. As long as we're still talking about monsters, I scrolled a bit around. I still have that old newspaper up, the communist newspaper up, and I do see a little ad with Nosferatu's creepy face staring at me.
Sure.
And it says, first showing in America.
Oh,
so,
okay.
There you go. It took 7 years to get here.
7 years, man.
And the commies checked it out first.
Anime elitists complain that, like, subs are coming over in 24 hours now. On Crunchyroll, the anime episode premieres, and 24 hours later, we get it in America. And people are still torrenting because it's not
right,
too fast.
Right, people were upset, when there was, like, the typhoon over there? Like, the anime's gonna be delayed? What? Like, well, there's a hurricane, there's monsoon season, we're all desperately in danger.
Need that anime, dude.
Gotta get it.
Need that weekly content. Keep it going.
We all have our favorite content, and you know what I'm going to keep going? I'm going to keep the Elijah train going.
What?
Yeah, you're not the only special boy in this podcast
house.
No, I
thought we had a special thing going, Eli. I was the one who got the reviews.
No more.
Oh, no. I have to have a talk with that boy.
Do it. See what he says to me. He'll come back to me.
Don't say that. We're going to stand on both sides of Elijah, and he's going to have a little review in his mouth, and he's going to have to pick the host that he wants to give it to.
Well, yours was great. Yours was great and seasonally appropriate with the Frankenstein reference. This one is just a free-for-all, which I feel like it's good. A good palate cleanser to get us back to base.
Let's do it.
This is an Amazon review for the Blu-ray, because you need it in Blu-ray. Dude, where's my car? And Daniel Paul Matula, I recognize that last name, Daniel Paul Matula titles his review, "Sweet! Dot, dot, dot. Dude!" And Danny Boy writes, "My kids tell me never to tell someone on the first date, this is my favorite movie. But I've seen it more than anything else. More than The Sound of Music or Love Actually." The reason I see it so much is that they have that mind erase thing at the end and you can't remember it, so you have to watch it again. It's hilarious. No. 5 stars.
This guy's whole life is a dad joke.
And I, just to make it even worse, for all you listeners out there, you heard mind erase, like an erased mind with an eraser. Daniel wrote mind space A space race, like running a race.
Mind eraser. Wow.
He's not exactly... maybe this movie's perfect for him, I think.
He's been so consumed by the dad jokes, his mind is starting to decay.
His brain is like an egg, you know? You put it in your shoe and you beat it.
I do like that. I do like Dude, Where's My Car? I remember liking it anyway.
Uh-huh. Yeah, at the time.
Yeah, I'm not above liking a dumbass stoner comedy. You know, I grew up on them. Dumb and Dumber, Major Pain. It's just that, but 2000s.
What's I do feel odd, bad though? Mm-hmm. You feel bad? I don't know if I feel bad
for the kids.
Oh, for the kids, for sure. Dad, stop talking about Dude, Where's My Car?
Seriously. Seriously, like, they're trying to set up their dad on dates with nice girls from work, and he just keeps talking about Ashton Kutcher.
He's got the same haircut and everything. I just, the two movies that he picks out that he's also seen a lot.
I know, why those?
Not as much as Dude, Where's My Car?
Why
The Sound
those?
Of Music or Love Actually? I guess, you know what, if I want to be like a smooth, suave ladies man, I'll be like, hey, you remember that scene in Love Actually when God Only Knows starts playing? That scene gets me every time.
Has that one worked for you?
Should be, I haven't tried it yet, but I'm going to now. I could feel the tears welling up. I could.
Oh, you're really in the moment here.
I'm in the moment. Confession, have never seen The Sound of Music. I've seen clips, but haven't seen Whether the Hills Are Alive or Dead.
People be dancing in the hills, little children, from what I've seen.
Yeah. Auf Wiedersehen and all that jazz.
What are your top three most watched movies? Let's judge our own. You know, we do a lot of judging of reviewers on this. Let us
turn the mirror. Oh my good, that's a good question.
I think I'll go first. Mine have gotta be, let's put the most embarrassing first. Fight Club is definitely top three. Revealing my hand as a cis white male. Love that shit. Number two is probably Lion King, just because that was on repeat in the childhood days.
That's a good point.
And maybe talking about those dumb comedies I was talking about, probably Tommy Boy. I've watched that a million times. Lord of the Rings trilogy, special mention.
Yeah. I'm thinking of movies that we would watch in the old family van on trips out to Kansas that, you know, we just... There's a tiny, tiny screen, and it only takes VHS, so what are we grabbing?
Flubber. I like the Flubber VHS more than the movie itself. I think it was green.
So I know I've seen Dumb and Dumber a heck of a lot, as we already referenced. My cousin Vinny has become a Thanksgiving tradition for my family,
okay,
if that tells you anything. That was another sort of, hey, we put it in, and we're like, this movie's
better than
good.
Watching the stinking Lions game, am I right?
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know, Back to the Future, Indiana Jones, just because anytime it's on, you're like, well, I'm going to stand here for about 20 or 30 minutes, even though I own it.
And just consume this part of the movie a little bit. What's your favorite Back to the Future? I know you're Back to the Future head.
Two. Yeah.
Two's hard to beat because it's in the future and they got the hoverboards.
It's in the future and it's in the past and like it's everywhere, man.
Three doesn't really get me going as much as the other two. Is that a standard take?
I think so. It's just because ZZ Top doesn't rock as much as as Huey Lewis.
Big true. I don't think there's any truer statement than that in the world. I think that's a good one to end the episode on. Thanks for listening to ReviewParty.com this week. If you made it this far, it means I hope that you had a good time. We had a good time recording and packaging this content for you. So allow us to plug some things for your ears that you might engage with. Again, thank you, listener. We got new episodes every Tuesday. Hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day. That's a little phonetic moniker to help you remember when we drop the episodes.
Little humdinger.
Hashtag humdinger. If you have an absurd review you'd like to send us so we can make some comedy from it, send those ingredients over to reviewparty.com@gmail.com. You send a screenshot of a review. We really like hyperlinks. Whatever you got, make it work. You can also send it to our social media pages, which I'm sure how that sneaky snake Elijah slithered past my eyes and got one into you.
He actually sent it directly to me.
Directly to
DM.
You?
DM. We're friends.
Elijah, you're in his DMs and you didn't tell me?
Not even through the facade of ReviewParty.com.
Now I know how
makes Gone me Girl. Feel this so
is Gone Girl is happening on ReviewParty.com right now.
Anyway, speaking of my DMs, you can probably get in there on Instagram, which shouldn't be too hard, but it will be even less hard. There's even less resistance to get in there, or you can find us at reviewparty.com. You can also find us at the same place on TikTok and on Twitter. We throw a little curveball at you to keep you on your toes. We're there at reviewpartypod. And if you're like, I am nervous, I don't know how to interact, even through digital communication.
Don't worry, worse.
We're there with you. That's why we created ReviewParty.com, which hosts all of our episodes, all of the blog posts that we write weekly, which are related to reviews in some way, shape, or form.
or not, sometimes. Who cares?
We do what we want, okay? It's our website.
Dang it.
There's the shop there, and you can sign up for the After Party Review newsletter to let you know what is happening in the little world that we inhabit.
Absolutely. If you want another cool way to support the show, wherever you're listening right now, whatever little podcast hopper you prefer, hit the follow, subscribe, favorite, like, whatever stinking button they got on there. You know which one it is. Hit it. If you listen on Spotify, they also have a little alert button you can turn on. You get the cutest little notification every Tuesday when a new episode comes out. I recommend it to do with your favorite shows. And lastly, we'd like to thank our buddies in Nosebleeds for letting us use their jam bread for breakfast. You can find that and more great tunes from them on their Spotify. Nosebleeds, one word. Their record label, Thumbs Up Records, got all kinds of cool bands running around. Honey Creeks.
Shout out.
Doing big things. Matt, you got a finisher this week?
I indeed have a finisher. It's something we've talked about a bit. I've posted about it on Instagram, everybody.com. This is an Amazon review for NFL Sunday Ticket by DirecTV. Customer Con 3531 titles their review. What email and password do you use to get in? And they write, what email and password do you use to get in? I have the Fire Stick, and when I downloaded this, it is asking for email and password. If I could get in, I might be able to rate it. 1 star.